This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, October 27th, 2024. Just show up.
Good morning, Connection Church. There at home, here in the sanctuary. So good to be with you as we glorify, praise, worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Great day outside too. There we go. So it's week four, final week for our series one-offs. Week one, we talked about word power. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Plan G. Last week, we were using what you've got. And this morning, we're going to talk about just show up.
Ever heard that before? Oh, yeah.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Good morning, Connection Church. My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who have been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thanks so much for being here today. If this is your first time or your 100th time, we pray that you would feel a sincere love and care by being here. And our mission is to connect people with Jesus and the new life he offers. We do have a celebrity among us. I don't know anybody else who's been on the cover of Delaware today.
I told you we were going to put the spotlight on you.
Terry Sammons. Stand up, Terry, Marianne.
Yeah.
Turn around, face your people. This is Terry and Marianne Sammons. And Terry is on the front of Delaware today. He is the Lenape spiritual leader of the people group that
the tribe
have been here in this area for such a long time. And, you know, some of the places that we live or that we might be on their land. Terry, thank you for your witness, for your leadership, and for the way that you are part of our community here at Connection. Marianne, you as well, as a Christ follower who is a leader of the Lenni Lenape.
And for your
blessings,
friendship.
For your friendship. We love you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Do you need an extra copy? I'm going to throw it because I don't like steps. There you go. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you so much for this day. It's a day that you've made, a day where we come together to encourage one another, to smile at one another, to worship you together, to glorify your holy name. We're a family of Christ called Connection Community Church. Settle us in, whether we're right here on this campus or whether we're online. Remove any distractions so that we can give you our attention. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. Everybody agreed and said, amen. 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 Just show up. So that's been our catchphrase here at Connection Community Church almost since the beginning. That's the term we've used. It came when an attender was asked, well, why? What first made you show up? Interesting words. And he said he had looked at the website and he got the feeling that he could just show up the way he was. You know, we come in with all kinds of stuff. We, you know, are all over the place, but he got the sense that he could just show up. And so we're like, wow, that works. And so we became a just show up church. We already were, but we kind of claimed it officially. In fact, it's really in our name. Do you want to share that?
Well, when we recently disaffiliated, we had to become a new identity because we had to get a new employer identification number, old and new. And we looked, we were a Connection Community Church. We looked up Connection Church. Well, I think it was a church in Laurel.
There's one.
Has snuck in there and taken that. So we tried a couple of things that would, if it's already on there, you can't have it. So I thought, all right, if we call it Just Show Up Church Inc., I'll bet you nobody's got that one. And I was right, and we were right. So we officially are Just Show Up Church Inc., doing business as Connection Community Church.
So it became our legal name. Just show up.
Church.
We pray that each one of you feels welcome when you come in the door and that you experience community and more than that, just the presence of the Lord, and that you invite others around you to just show up.
So back a few years ago, before even a ministry, I was a sales manager with a Prudential insurance company. I was in a conference listening to a speaker, and his name was Mike Mescon. Mike Mescon, actually Dr. Mike Mescon, as he was dean of the Georgia State University's School of Business Administration. And Mr. Mescon, in the speech, was talking about how to improve your business, how to be better at business. And he told the story of how he was teaching, and a student, he had one of his students came in to ask for advice. And he said, Dr. Mescon, I've been a student here for 10 years. You know, most times you're in college 4, maybe 5 years, but 10 years. Well, at that school, a lot of the students were working full-time. School was part-time, so it wasn't unusual for a student to be there 9, 10, 12 years. So, and then this young man said, I'm about to graduate. And Dr. Mescon said, well, congratulations. That's been a long road. And he says, yes, it has. I'm about to graduate, and I'd like to know what I need to do to succeed. I've spent a lot of time, a lot of money. I put in 10 years. I want to know what I need to do to succeed. Dr. Mescon says, oh, you want to be successful? You really want to be successful? If you do just this one thing, you'll be ahead of 70% of the competition. Just this one thing. Show up. Just show up.
And so that is important in the world of business. It is important in life. It is also important in the world of faith. Sometimes when we get up, we're not feeling it. But if we just show up and we're ready, then we're able to make an impact and serve or do whatever God wants us to do. So just show up. And you're here because you decided to show up. Congratulations. We're glad we're not here all by ourselves.
Yeah.
We can remember.
That's so bad when we preach to ourselves.
It doesn't do much. When we were on Green Street, that's where we rented for a lot of years until this church was built. We would walk up the center aisle and it would be like 8 people and the church, you know, worship would be starting. And we would sit in our seats there and say,
we didn't look over our shoulder. We looked straight ahead.
We're like, please, somebody, just be here. Come on. And then by the time we would never turn around. And then by the time we got up to the platform, it's like, oh my gosh, people came.
When we first started the church. Yeah.
It is. Funny. So you made it. You might have made the decision this morning. You might have made the decision last night. This might be a decision that's really no decision at all. It's just what you do on Sunday morning. Our kids, when they were growing up, they were involved in sports and everything. And it's a little different than today. But there were a number of occasions where they had to be picked up at church after the first service by their coach if they wanted
they had to come to first service,
then them to play.
So, and this is pre-ministry.
I know that's hard today, but to make it a priority is always important.
Mm. Psalm 100. It's a great psalm. It's poetic. It's challenging. It's encouraging, in telling us to show up. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Not just some, not all the earth, every one of us. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. If you're serving here, do it with gladness. I got to do it. Gladness. Come on. Come into his presence with singing. Ah. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We didn't make this happen, did we? The Lord did. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with what? Thanksgiving. We don't enter His gates grumbling and moaning. We're thankful. Thank you, Lord. And we enter His courts. This is His courts right here. And this was written about when it was the temple, you know. And this is His courts, and we enter it with praise. With praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Isn't that just a glorious psalm? Yeah.
We really think this Psalm 100 is a great invitation to show up. It's a word of encouragement to us. It gives us focus of why we do show up, to bless His name, to realize His faithfulness to all generations. And I know we're preaching to the choir on this. You're here. You're here on the other side. But some days, some weeks, it's kind of tough. And so we just want to encourage you to just do the best you can. Don't get lazy, but just show up as much as you can. Mm. Because we need each other. I say this every week. We need each other. It's hard. It's hard out there. And it's an encouragement to be together. So it's like, okay, got my people here. Now I'm going to go out and I'm going to hit the ground running.
Just show up. And then Dr. Mescon continued advising the student on how to be successful. He said, now you want to be successful. You want to have a lasting impact. You want to succeed more than those who just show up. You want to pull ahead of the competition. Show up on time. Show up on time. Ouch. Ouch. Stepping on toes now, Dr. Mescon. Really? It makes that much of a difference, show up on time? You bet it does. You bet it does. Showing up on time makes all the difference in the world. Timing is everything, and showing up on time is timing.
So we read about this in John's Gospel, and this is a story of timing. There was a guy named Lazarus. He had two sisters, Mary and Martha. They were very close friends of Jesus. Jesus would come and stay there from time to time, and they were a source of encouragement to him throughout his ministry. Now, Lazarus got sick, really, really sick. And the sisters sent word to Jesus, because Jesus was on the road, and he sent word to him about his brother. Now, it didn't say this, but they probably kind of thought, he'll get here. He'll get here quick, you know? Well, that's not the case. We read in Scripture that when Jesus got the word about Lazarus being really, really sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Why the delay? Well, the Scripture tells us it was for God's glory that his son Jesus might be glorified through it. John 11. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now, I find that very interesting because she recognized that he was a savior, or she wouldn't have said this. She knew who he was. "But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again."
So after talking with Martha and Mary, Jesus proceeded to the tomb, a cave, it says in Scripture, a cave with a stone rolled across the entrance. We've heard that elsewhere, haven't we? John 11, 39 through 44. This is the New Living Translation. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible.
The Bible's got everything in it. Even those kinds of details.
It gives you it all. And Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. And then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe you sent me. That's a pretty important thing there, isn't it? And then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out! And the dead man came out. Can you imagine being in the crowd that day watching this? Whoa! The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. And Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Wow. Wow.
Paul reminds me of that song that you sang, Lazarus, Rise Up. Yeah, good song. Well, Jesus arrived and everybody thought he was late. Everybody thought he was really too late. Lazarus had already been dead 4 days. He was already buried. But here's the thing. Jesus' timing was perfect. He showed up, and he showed up on time. Not on their time, but in his time, God's time, Jesus' time. And God's timing is always perfect. That is very hard for us. It's very hard for me, because sometimes things don't happen as they should. But Jesus always shows up on time.
Unfortunately, showing up on time sometimes in our culture is the exception, not the norm, isn't it? We're also busy all the time. The getting to where we're supposed to get, when we're supposed to get there, can be very challenging and costly. Costly. According to a 2018 Wall Street Journal article, the U.S. loses $90 billion each year as a result of people running late. $90 billion. And we were looking at this and we said, how is that? Well, I did a little research. The average employee loses 35 minutes to lateness each week. You say, what's 35 minutes? That's, what, 7 minutes a day? Well, it costs employers $166 per worker each year for that lateness. You multiply that by the millions upon millions of workers in this country, and it adds up, doesn't it, to $90 billion.
So just show up and on time. So a true confession for me is that I am known, and not proudly known, for being late. I'm never late for my meetings, but I am late for others. And if I were on time more consistently, it would be more respectful. It would be more humble, because by being late, it shows that our agenda is more important, or our time is more important than the person who is waiting for us, or the company that needs us, or the when we're supposed to show up, no matter what that looks like. And so I am actually embarrassed to even be talking about this, but it's something that I'm working on this morning. Now that I'm not leading the praise team, I used to have to be here between 7:15 and 7:30 to work with the team, right? Well, now that Paul's on staff and leads the team, it's like, I don't have to be there. And I was laying in bed this morning, a little later than I should have, thinking, I can just be here. I don't have to be there. And I heard like this something inside of my head, which I know was the Holy Spirit convicting me, that says, get yourself up. You are supposed to be at your church. Mm. You're a leader. This is not leader. This is not being a leader.
Up. Get up.
And so I did get here. I was 5 minutes late, but the way I had acted, I was going to be a half an hour late or 45 minutes late. So I'm sorry if many of you have waited on me. And I'm going to give this a real try because I respect you and I care for you. So Philippians 2, verses 3 to 4 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. I just want to say one more thing. You know what? I try to cram so much time into an hour. Debbie's laughing because she knows I have stacked chew, 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 chew. And it's like, oh my gosh, okay, I have to do this in 15 minutes. Well, I'm gonna try to cram a major project into that 15 minutes before. That is so not good. If there's anybody like me, let's together try to get this right. Let's be on time. Done. True confession.
Speaking of time. Third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, the Old Testament, written by Solomon. It tells us that there is a time for everything under heaven. You've maybe heard the song, the birds did it a few years ago. I think Pete Seeger wrote the song. I'm not going to sing it this morning. I'm just going to share the words with you. For everything, there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant. And as we were out going around yesterday, we saw a time to harvest, right? Time to plant, time to reap, time to harvest, time to kill, time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to cry and a time to laugh. A time to grieve and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones.
A time to embrace and a time to turn away. A time to search and a time to quit searching. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be quiet and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. A time for everything under heaven. A time for everything and everything in its time. On time, show up on time.
Then Dr. Mescon concluded his speech to this young man who's graduating after 10 years of college, his speech on how to succeed. He says, you want to know what it takes to pull away from the rest of the pack? You want to make an impact that far exceeds those around you? You want to succeed beyond measure? Show up on time, dressed to play. Show up on time, dressed to play. You do that, you won't even have to break a sweat.
So dressed to play, it might be, you know, what you're wearing, but that's really not what we're talking about. We're talking about a mindset. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Do you prepare ahead of time of what you might encounter that day? Did you get enough sleep the night before to do the job at which you've been called to do? Do you start your day with a little one-on-one time with God? It goes so much better when we do that. The days that I get up and I hit the ground running without doing that, and I think, okay, I'll do it at lunchtime. It is just, I'm just playing catch up the rest of the day. So starting the day with a little God time. We can seek his strength. We can seek his presence. We can seek his power, his humbleness, so that we can be who God wants us to be and do what God calls us to do. Whether you're in the office or the classroom or the shop or the garage or work or school or play, whatever that looks like, are you prepared that that day is a gift? Every day we have is a gift. Every day. Alan, you've heard this before, but it fits really well here. Our kids, and now our grandkids, when they're with us at the beginning of the day, they have heard this their entire life.
You ready for the best day of your life? I hope so, because it's here. Yesterday's a canceled check. And in today's banking world, this doesn't make any sense. So probably the younger people don't know what I'm talking about here. Yesterday's a canceled check. Tomorrow's a promissory note. Today is cash. Spend it wisely. Spend it wisely. It may be all you get.
So we need to come dressed to play. We need to come expectant and ready for whatever assignment that we've been given that day. Let's show up. Let's show up on time. And let's be dressed to play.
So I want to applaud each and every one of you this morning. And the reason I want to applaud you is because you showed up. You showed up. That's always the important first step, right? Before you got to show up. For important first step for any endeavor. You know, old Chinese proverb, a journey of 1,000, I think they use leagues, but we'll say miles. Journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. If you don't take that step, if you don't show up, nothing's going to happen. And you know, it's important to show up today here in worship so that we can glorify God and build up one another. That's what it's all about, isn't it? That's all it comes down to. Glorify God, build up one another.
And so the second piece of that, just show up, and the other part's on time. And I'm going to just kind of leave that alone. But we all have busy lives. And we all have expectations, whether we're in the work world, whether we're, you know, doing other things. Let's not be known for what I'm known for. Like, oh, Carrie, she'll be here. She's always 5 or 10 minutes late. But let's be known for, like, I better be ready because they're going to get here 10 minutes early. I want to be that person. And so I'm going to work on that.
Show up on time. Did you come dressed to play? You know, I don't think God gives a rip what you're wearing this morning. I think he cares about if you're dressed to play emotionally, psychologically, mentally, spiritually especially. You know, you wear a coat tie, you wear a t-shirt and jeans, shorts, doesn't matter. Dress skirt, sweatpants, whatever. Dress shoes, flip-flop sneakers, it doesn't matter. Yeah. But what matters is if you came dressed to play. Did you come ready to worship and praise? I don't mean ready to sit down and just, yeah, there's the praise. Ready to engage, whether to make it yours, not be entertained by the praise team, but to be part of the praise team, because this whole sanctuary is a praise team on Sunday morning. Amen?
Amen.
Did you come with an attitude of gratitude, expecting that God would share something with you this morning to help carry you through the week? If you didn't, I would encourage you to change your attitude. Because it's not just going to fall on you. You've got to participate. This is a participation thing. And there are no trophies for participation. It's just being part of it here. Did you come with a thirst? A thirst and a hunger for more about God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Did you come ready for the Holy Spirit to open you up? To open you up to a closer relationship, to a better understanding of what Christ did by giving his life so that you would be able to share eternity with him. I mean, when we walk in, we've got to be ready for that. We've got to be dressed to play. We've got to be not just sitting here tapping our toes and listening to music, but engaging with the Lord. You know, I've sometimes over the years, this before I even went into ministry, say, you know, I didn't get anything out of church today. That sermon didn't do anything for me. I didn't get anything out of it. And I always want to say, what did you put into it? How did you participate? Were you waiting for it to hit you, or were you engaging? Were you internally asking questions or saying, God, help me understand. God, give me, it's a two-way street. It's not just like a sponge. We don't just soak up. We participate. Rather than getting something out of it, let's put something into it. That ain't going to happen, though, if we don't come in dressed to play. Dressed to play.
So even if the words that we've said don't relate to you today, we've read Scripture. We've read Psalm 100. We've spoken about John in Scripture with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Go home and read the Scriptures, and God will absolutely open your heart and speak to you in some way. You know, dress to play, there's a little secret I have when I'm pretty tired, so I'm going to let y'all know what my secret is. If I'm dragging more than normal and it's a Sunday morning, Barry, what color do I wear?
Red.
You got it. I'll walk in with this bright red blouse because that's like my power clothes. And I'm like, okay, I am dressed to play today. And just sometimes by putting on certain things, it kind of gives us a different mindset. So next time I wear red, you're going to think, boy, she's a little tired, but boy, she's got energy, because who knows? Anyway, third chapter of Paul's letter to the Colossians. It paints a picture of what it looks like for us to be dressed to play. Colossians 3. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all else, clothe yourselves with what? Love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful.
Now that's what it looks like to come dressed to play in God's world. Amen? Amen. Whether you're going to work, school, play, church, clothe yourself each and every day dressed to play, as we're told in that Colossians passage. And remember, above all else, clothe yourselves with love. Because that's the most important thing. Clothe yourselves in love. When you do, you'll be helping share God's news, the good news of God, with everyone you meet. Everyone. Show up on time, dressed to play.
This is the good news of Jesus Christ. This is God's word, a love letter from cover to cover for each one of us. Let's believe it. Let's live it. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you so much. I'm guessing this message is probably for me, maybe more than anybody else. And thank you for your instruction found in Scripture. Thank you for the Psalms. Thank you for the story in the book of John about Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Thank you for the Ecclesiastes scripture, there is a time for everything in heaven. Lord, show us what we need to see today. Help us regard each day as a gift. Help us not waste it. Not waste the time that we have here on this earth. Some days it's easy to just go through it, ho-hum. But Lord, you've given us a purpose and a plan, no matter what age we are, no matter who we are, no matter anything. You've designed us, you've desired us, and you have a purpose and plan. And so help us, God, always run to you, to run to the Father with arms open wide. And when we do that, that's really showing up. Thank you, Lord. We praise your holy name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Everybody agreed and said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.